Welcome to the Every Nation Church Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
I have had to go to Manila for a board meeting for our Real Life Foundation. And as I've mentioned to you previously, we are a church that believes in social responsibility, and Real Life is our equivalent of that in the Philippines. We've had over 1,000 scholars who have gone through our program, and we are now increasing that. And I had to, as a member of the board and the executive director, I had to fly back to Manila. It gave me an opportunity to be with my father, who, as I've mentioned in the past, been in the hospital for over 30 days. And when I got back, I had to move him to our home and build kind of like a little hospice hospital in our home, which is a good moment for me. And I had a chance to interface with my grandchildren. This is Philip. You don't see him, but obviously he's a Batman fan. When I was in Manila, my son David decided to take him out on a date and offered him an ice cream choice. He said, "Do you want to have Baskin Robbins or do you want to have a gelato?" And obviously, being a Batman fan, he chose Baskin Robbins, thinking that was Batman's ice cream. You know, Batman and Robin. I mean, he's 2 years old. So, and then when they got to the ice cream parlor, it was Halloween moment, so there were bats. So it was obvious this was actually Batman's ice cream parlor. I bring that up because the idea of Proverbs, which is Pastor Larry started the series last week, is really about choices, wise choices versus foolish choices. And when we make choices in life, they account for the summary of who we become in life. When you look at me or yourself or any other person, who they are today is a summary of the choices they've made, either wise choices or bad choices. And that's what the book of Proverbs is about. I've been reading Proverbs now for over 30 years. And Proverbs is nothing more than a set of instructions, of warnings, of insight, of wisdom that is couched in sayings. It's couched in poems and in many cases even comparisons in order for us to understand how wisdom, the wisdom of God works, and not just the wisdom of the world. The book of Proverbs is so popular that even non-believers, people who don't believe in the Bible, quote many of the words from the book of Proverbs. One such comparison is the idea of voices. And the Bible tells us about two specific voices that we can understand or glean as we read from Scripture. I want to read out of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, where it says, "Wisdom cries aloud in the street." There's a crying out, there's a voice. In the markets, she raises her voice. There's that idea of a voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. A voice. Wisdom cries out. She raises her voice. She cries out and she speaks. That's the voice of wisdom. On the other hand, there is the voice of folly. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 13 to 15 speaks about the woman folly is loud. It's a big difference. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat in the highest places, very similar to wisdom, calling to those who pass by. There's also that other side of this voice. There's two voices that we find as we leave church and go our merry way. There's the voice of wisdom and the voice of folly. Choosing which voice to follow, choosing which voice to obey or to lead us, will determine the summary of our lives. And if you wanted to put a title to this message, the title is The Voice, okay? Rather, the two voices. Proverbs chapter 9, which is really the chapter of Proverbs we're going to study today, says wisdom has built her house. The voice of wisdom speaks about the voice of a builder, building something that takes time. If you want to understand wisdom, it's never instant. Whenever you hear get rich quick or this is going to solve your problem tomorrow, or take this pill and all your worries are going to go away, that's not wisdom. Wisdom is the voice of a builder, someone who knows that things take time, that things take work. We're now reaching a moment in history where people don't understand that anymore. There's a generation that's coming up after us that think that all of this just happened, not realizing that these things take time. It takes work to get there. It demands patience. It doesn't just demand patience, it demands consistency. On my way here from Calang, the driver was explaining to me that everything you see here, speaking of the marina and the highways and the subways and everything that he was saying, everything you see here was water. There was nothing here. There were no trees. There was nothing. And to understand that what we enjoy today had to be built, had to take time, had to take work, was not instant, required patience and consistency. And that's why we see what we see today. In contrast, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13, the second half of chapter 9 says, the woman follies loud. That word is the word hamal. Okay, the Hebrew word hamal, which means it clamors. It's the voice that demands, I want this now. It's the voice that says, I can't wait. It's the voice that feels entitled. I'm entitled to this. You owe me this. This is a generation that's coming out that's not going to be very wise. And as you will see later in this message, that will pay its own toll. Wise people know life does not work that way. As many of you know, Donald Trump has won, the new president. And I'm not for Trump or anybody. I'm not American, so I didn't vote. But I've been watching the news, and there was an interesting clip on Fox News about the college students that canceled exams for students. The colleges canceled the exams because the students were traumatized because of Trump's election. And I thought, how silly can this be? That people cannot take an exam because they're traumatized because the person they vote did not win. And please don't leave here and saying, well, Pastor Joey's pro-Trump or what. I'm not pro anybody. I'm just pointing out the nonsense of the idea that you're traumatized and you can't take an exam just because you didn't get what you wanted. Now, they explained why it happened. Lack of ideological diversity left campus students unprepared to cope with reality. Now, that's even more stupid now. Now, the reason why they can't cope is because they lack this whole idea of diversity. Actually, the right statement should be the lack of wisdom left campuses unprepared to cope with reality. We will have an inability to cope with reality if we don't have wisdom. These students are demanding and clamoring. They're saying the only way life's going to work is if you do it our way. There's an entitlement. I'm entitled to this. And it can't wait. The reason why I use this illustration is because this applies to you and to me. This is our marriage. Marriages fail not because here's what people do. When we don't get what we want, we say there's something wrong with my marriage. Really, there's nothing wrong with your marriage. Your marriage needs work. Your marriage needs building. Your marriage needs sacrifice. Your marriage demands patience. That's what your marriage needs. Your children are not sick. Your children are not lost. Your children are not the problem. The problem is you need to be patient. You need to work on that. Same with your career, our health. We're demanding the instant, not realizing that's not how wisdom works. And so if you want to understand wisdom, the fundamental difference is most people say, just because I didn't get it my way, there's something wrong with the world. Not so. Wisdom is a builder. The voice that says, let's build. Folly is the voice that clamors, that demands the instant. Further, it says, wisdom has built her house. And then it says, she has hewn her seven pillars. This is an interesting word, this word hewn, which is actually comes from the word hew, which is the Hebrew word chatseb, which literally means to be able to choose wisely. If you're going to build a house, and you're going to set pillars in that house, you're going to have to go to a forest and choose wisely the wood, the pieces of wood that didn't have something rotting in it, that didn't have something that was slanted a certain way. You had to choose the right materials before you set your seven pillars and hold your house upright. Chatseb, to build, to choose. If you're going to build something, you're going to have to choose based on long-term repercussions. You can't just say, I'm choosing this because I like this. It's what are the long-term impact of these choices that I'm going to be making? To choose means to be based on quality. I'm choosing, this is something that is a quality choice, not a choice of convenience, not a choice of what's instant. To choose what's foundational. What is this going to work foundationally for me that will take me to the distance? In contrast, once again, we find that the voice of folly is not just loud, it's seductive. It seduces you. It's the voice that speaks about choosing based on attractiveness. I was with Dewi Intan. My wife and I were with Dewi. Dewi's on staff at our church, and she was helping us open a bank account and do all sorts of things. And as we were waiting for our paperwork, we got to talking about our dogs. And this is Dewi's dog. Dewi's dog is Pika. Obviously, I looked at that dog and I thought, this looks like a doll. And so it's kind of like you're bragging about your children and your dogs. And so we bragged about our dog. This is our dog, okay? And he's just as cute as your dog. And so obviously, as the conversation grew, Dewi tried to convince us that the reason why she chose this dog was not just because the dog was cute, but the dog was very smart. She can skateboard. And so now the bragging rights got bad. And so we had to tell her, well, you see, our dog reads the Bible. Here's the point, okay? When it comes to dogs and your cell phone cases, you can choose what's attractive. When it comes to relationship with God, the more serious things, marriage, careers, it might not necessarily be the most attractive. Wisdom demands something else. And what happens when we're seduced by nearly just the attractive and not coming to God and saying, Lord, show us what is the wise choice here? What's the right thing to do? It's not just the attractive. It's also the popular. I was looking at the most popular things that people watch these days, and they're Korean telenovelas. This in particular, some of you are already, is he going to hit that? No, I'm just telling you about this one. This one's called Kill Me and Heal Me. It's so popular in Japan, in Taiwan, over here, and over in the Philippines. I want to read to you what the write-up about this particular show. Kill Me, Heal Me in 2015, this new Korean drama tells a story about a billionaire who's suffering from memory lapses and 7 different split personalities. How many of you want to watch this? And influence you that 7 split personalities is a good thing as long as you're a billionaire. But really, that's not even my point. My point is, it's really clever and addictive. In other words, they're not even lying to you. They're telling you this will make you an addict. And some of you, your choices are the popular. You're sitting there spending your time watching this addictive thing when you should be training yourself to read more, to listen to wiser people, to study harder, maybe to work out, maybe to exercise, rather than sit around and watching this kind of stuff. And then it says this, there's no turning back once you start this episode. They're actually warning you. And here you are, yeah! So prepare for an all-nighter if you're planning to begin this one. The popular, the attractive, the seducing. And not just the popular, the attractive, the one that gives me instant results. That's what I want. That's folly. It's kind of like these two men and they want their abs. Instant abs. That's what we like, don't we? We say, instant, I'm going to diet, and then it's going to be instant. Not realizing the repercussions for instant things. Then it's even worse. The driver I was talking to said, I asked him, why do you speak English so well? He said, because you don't understand. I'm a manager. Of what? And he begins to describe his company. So why are you driving a taxi? Because a few years ago, I fell for this get-rich-quick scheme. And I lost everything. Now I've got to work on Sundays. Wisdom builds slowly. Knows it takes time. It takes pain. It builds the right foundation. It chooses before it decides. It's prudent. Wisdom builds, folly clamors. Wisdom hews, folly seduces. Proverbs 9, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still. Still wiser. In other words, this is already a wise man. How do you know when someone's a wise man? He's still willing to learn. Have you ever seen those people where you're trying to correct them and it's so hard to correct them, you can already tell this verse tells them they're fools. Wise people listen to even more instruction because they know, wise people know that they don't know everything. And when you cannot be corrected and adjusted and taught anymore, what you're saying is you know everything. Wise people understand I need to learn more. And he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Because he knows that the object of the game is to learn and not to be just be seduced. On the contrast, folly is loud, she's seductive, and she knows nothing. She's ignorant. Fundamental difference between these two voices is one celebrates learning. The other one celebrates ignorance. Doesn't matter if I don't really know why it works, as long as it's popular, as long as there's 1 million likes in Facebook, that must be it. That must be the truth. I was listening to the radio on the taxi here, and it said, Whoopi Goldberg is now 62 years old. Who cares? I want to know how old the prime minister is. I want to know people who have real value. No offense to Whoopi, amen? But we're celebrating the wrong things. We're celebrating the popular. We're celebrating the thing that doesn't matter years later. I want to introduce you to two men. The first one is named Sundar Pichai. The other one is named Satya Nadella. Both these men are not just both Indians. The thing that they have in common is they're both CEOs. And they're not just both CEOs, they're both CEOs of the largest tech companies in the world. One is Google and the other one is Microsoft. Both of these men are earning millions of dollars. But the big thing they have in common is not because they were Indians. The big thing they have in common was they both came from very poor backgrounds. Sundar never rode a car growing up, never saw a television. Satya was no different. But the real big thing that they have in common were they had these fathers who were wise, these fathers who saw the long term, these fathers who sacrificed so that they could get a good education, so that they could learn, not realizing that years later, that wisdom was going to pay off in hundreds of millions. Wisdom waits. Wisdom makes choice decisions. Not popular, sometimes hard sacrifice decisions, because it's wiser. As I was following and tracking the lives of these men, I was reminded of the life of my own father. It's a funny, interesting thing with my father. My father's 87 years old. He was born during the big war. And it's funny because ever since he got to the hospital, in his private room or in the ICU, and even now that we've moved him to the house, for some reason, every time I walk in that room, he's asleep. For whatever reason, he's asleep. And then when I leave, he's awake. And when I get back in, he's asleep again. And so this went on for weeks. It's been going on even since he moved to the house. Every time I walk in, he's asleep. And so I was wondering, what's going on here? And then it dawned on me that he comes from a different generation. The generation that for you Singaporeans would call paise. He's embarrassed that you have to go through all this trouble for him. A generation that says, I'm going to sacrifice for the next one. A generation that says, I love you enough to take in the pain. He's embarrassed with me because he knows of the physical, the emotional, and the financial pain. And so finally, on the day just before I left, I told the nurse in my house, I said, as soon as you wake up, don't tell my mom, don't tell anybody, just run to me and call me. You have to understand this, I'm on my way to the airport. So he wakes up and the nurse comes out and I get in there and I storm inside his room. I said, got you. And I looked at him and I gathered the house, my mom and the helpers and the nurses. And I said, Pop, I call him Pop. I love you. I love you so much. I don't need you to worry about this. I don't need you to ever be ashamed. You deserve all of this. If we lose all our money, if we get into debt, whatever happens, you deserve this. You deserve honor. You've given us our lives. The As I was leaving my house that day, and I was telling the household help, the nurse, I don't need you guys to ever make this man feel guilty. He needs to know he deserves this. I was riding the car, and I was thinking about this on the way to the airport, how different the coming generation that feels entitled versus a generation that's actually ashamed that my life's becoming a trouble to you. Somewhere in between that is the truth, the right way to live. You don't have to be ashamed, but you don't have to be entitled either. As I close, I'll make one last set of verses in Proverbs 9. For me, your days will be for by me, it says, for by wisdom, your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life. He says, with wisdom, your days will be multiplied. Years will be added to your life. In contrast, it says, with folly, but he who does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. He's talking about the difference. One produces life, the other one leads you to death. What's the difference between these two voices? One thinks of building, the other one demands, is impatient. One hews and makes the right choices, the other one seduces. What's attractive, what's popular, what's instant. One celebrates learning and knowledge and understanding. One celebrates ignorance. One produces life. The other one leads to death. As I was exchanging some money the other day, I was standing by the money changer, and right beside it was a counter of cigarettes. And as I was looking at that counter, I took a picture of how cigarettes today, if you buy a cigarette, they actually show you what will happen to you when you smoke. They show you what your gums are going to look like, your teeth are going to be ugly, your lungs are going to be bad, your liver's going to be bad, your heart's going to be... everything that you can imagine that smoking does to you. And yet, it sells billions. And here's the point. At some point, when you keep listening to folly, wisdom will be invisible to your eyes, because you didn't get used to that voice. You've gotten used to the voice of the foolish. You've gotten used to listening to the wrong thing that you can no longer hear what's wise. So how do I learn to hear the voice of wisdom? How do I learn to hear the voice of God on a regular basis? There's four simple points. My point in the last 4 weeks, since I've started preaching here, is still the same point. Pray. The more you pray, the more you seek God, the more you make time for Him, you're going to learn how to hear His voice. The more you quiet yourself and shun away from the voice of the world, the voice of folly, the more you're going to hear the voice of wisdom. Meditate on His word. The Bible says meditate on His word day and night. What that means is from morning to evening, use His word as the lenses that you make choices from. Keep meditating on that word, because the more you meditate on that word, you will be like the sheep of Jesus who will hear His voice. Not just meditate, preach the gospel. Never ever forget the goodness of God that He has given to you in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became man so that you and I can enjoy the wisdom of heaven. Preach it. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says, therefore we must pay much closer attention, not just attention, much closer attention to what we have heard, the gospel, lest we drift away from it. When we don't listen to that, when we don't remind ourselves that gospel, we will slowly drift away. Pray, meditate, preach that word to yourself, and finally, fellowship. Hang out with the right people. I'm looking forward to lunch today. I'm going to be with my good friend over here and hear that wisdom. That's so encouraging to hear. He was just telling me about Vietnam and all that's happened there. I'm looking forward to the men in that small group to hear the wisdom of God. The more you fellowship with believers, The more you hang out with them, the more you're going to hear that voice. God, in His wisdom, put this wisdom in different people. When I want to know, I'm almost 60. I'm tech. My wife will tell you, I'm scared of ATM machines. That's why I hang out with young people who can give me wisdom in that area of my life. Fellowship with believers. You're going to learn from someone something. You're going to learn from those people who have the wisdom of God. Amen? Just bow your heads. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as we close in the word of prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege, the joy of being able to assemble, to hear your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're doing a deep work in each of our lives. I ask you that you would embed in each one of us a desire to pray. Your word says, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Teach us, God, to default into prayer every day of our lives. Not just in the morning, God. Not just in the evening. But all throughout the course of our day. For this is your will for us in Christ Jesus, that we never cease praying. God, teach us to love your word. To meditate on your word. For it is the way we become familiar to the voice of wisdom. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you continue to give us much closer attention to your gospel. And Lord, we ask you, lead us to fellowship. Lead us to spend time with one another that we may see your grace and hear your voice as we fellowship together. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Church Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, please visit everynation.org.sg.